I will be reading Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41 from the New King James Version. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who has departed from them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being condemned by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're feeling good today and everything has gone good for you this week. If it hadn't, you're at the right place, I'm telling you. You're a visitor here. We appreciate you coming by and being with us. If you're a member here, we just love you anyhow. Don't worry about it. A little boy was talking to his daddy one day, and he said, "Daddy, what does the preacher do all week long?" He said, "Well, son," and he was trying to think of a positive way to do this. He said, "Son, sometimes he has to study the Bible, get his lessons ready, visit people, and do a lot of other things." And said, it's a pretty tough job. Said, he gets worn out with that. Little boy thought for a little bit, looked up his daddy and said, "You know, this thing of listening to the preacher kind of wears me out too. So I understand where you are. I understand you being worn out listening to a preacher preach all the time, but that's okay. Last week, I didn't know what Mick's lesson was. He didn't know until later what my lesson was, and we both had lessons on love. Good, we didn't have the same lesson. His was different than mine, and that's okay. I don't know if I've told you about Dennis Jones and Leon Smith going to Rogersville and preaching, and Dennis went up there Sunday morning and preached a lesson. Leon came Sunday night, preached the same lesson." I said, "Well, what about that?" He said, "They know it now." It's funny how things just seem to go together. And so you got a lot of lessons about love last week. This lesson this week is going to be a little bit different. I thought we've talked about love twice. Let's talk about conflict now. Because that's the opposite of love. Conflict is. Anybody like conflict? Anybody like to have conflict in your life? What gets me is there's some television programs on nowadays, and all they do is fuss and fight with each other. It's conflict after conflict. The women are Georgia, they're from Peachtree City and New York and Florida. I'm thinking, you women fuss a lot. I'm telling you, they just fuss and argue with each other. And I just have to turn it. I can't handle that. I have enough conflict in my life already. I don't look for it on television. But we have conflict, and we have to deal with that. Nobody really likes conflict. But what we need to do is to learn how to use conflict, because it can help us. Are you going to have conflict? Yes, you are. This is something from the beginning of time. I don't know if Adam and Eve had conflict with each other. I'm persuaded that they did. They were married, weren't they? I'll just throw that one in there. But I know their children did. Cain and Abel had conflict, and Cain killed Abel. Now, conflict is not always good. But sometimes we can use conflict in such a way as to help us to be able to be greater people. I have encouraged elder after elder, you need to take classes on conflict, because you're going to deal with it. I think any company, and most companies do, they take their employees, especially the managers and all, and try to help them to understand how you deal with conflict. And hopefully deal with it in such a way as it will make it better. Sometimes in conflict, I've seen people trying to deal with conflict, and instead of solving the conflict, or working it out, they created 10 other problems with that. And that's not what God intended. God wants us to be able to get these things straightened out. Human beings are going to have conflict. They're going to disagree with each other. Husbands and wives, parents and children, and even at church, we're going to disagree, aren't we? Oh, we do that. But what we've got to do is to learn how to handle conflict. Anytime I think about conflict, I think about a preacher friend of mine, Bob Bryson. His son preaches not too far from here, teaches at the school over here at Madison. He was called late one night. The sheriff called him, said, "We're down here at the so-and-so Church of Christ, and we were called because these people were getting ready to start fighting." And he said, "I'll be there in just a minute." So he said, "I got up and got ready and went down there." Said, "When I got there," said, "the sheriff was sitting in a chair behind the Lord's table, propped up on it." He said, "I thanked the sheriff and his deputies and said, 'Y'all can go. We're not going to have any more conflict. We're going to get this straightened out.'" He said, "As soon as they got out the back door, I chewed every one of those people out. 'How dare you? The whole town's going to know about this tomorrow. They're going to know about the fusses. They're going to know about the fights. They're going to know about what happened here. And what is that going to do for the name of the church?" Brethren, if we realized what conflict and it not being handled right does to the church, we would never, ever do it again. We'd solve our problems. We'd get them worked out. We don't know how to solve problems sometimes. And as I mentioned a while ago, sometimes when we try to solve one, we create 10 others. What we need to do is to learn how to deal with conflict, and conflict can help us to grow. It's certainly something we're going to have to deal with, and we've got to learn how to handle it. So we've got to learn how to deal with it. Now the passage in Acts here, 15, that was read, and I appreciate him reading that. That's kind of a long reading. But in Acts 15 is Barnabas and Saul, and they had a conflict. And it was no small conflict either. As was mentioned, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark had left them in Pamphylia when they were on one of the missionary journeys and come back home. Now, maybe they had a lot of work to do, and then all of a sudden, here's this young man. He says, "I'm going home," and he leaves. And he put the whole thing in kind of a turmoil. Why'd he go? What's the problem? What's going on? That's what everybody talks, you know. And Paul said, "No, we're not going to take him." Barnabas said, "Yes, we're going to take him." Paul said, "No, we're not." Barnabas said, "Yes, we are." And they had a contention. They had a problem there. They had a disagreement there. How did they solve that? This is the important thing. What they did is they, each one, departed with another person. Barnabas took John Mark, and he went one way, preaching and teaching the gospel. Paul took Silas, and he went another way, preaching the gospel. These fellows solved their conflict. It meant that they were going to divide. I wonder sometimes how much this was in God's wisdom, because here's two great men that are going to the same place. If you split those men, both of them are covering a bigger area. I'm not saying it was something that God did, but I wonder about that sometimes. But they handled the conflict. In this, you don't see these men as they fussed at each other anymore about this. They had a disagreement. They dealt with the disagreement and they went on. They did the Lord's work. They didn't stop doing it. They didn't stop what God wanted them to do. They kept on evangelizing. They kept on teaching the word. Neither one of them ever said a bad word about the other, as far as I've been able to read in the New Testament. They didn't say anything bad about the other person. They just went on and did their work. Brethren, sometimes we've got to realize I am not always right. And in some situations, both parties are right. I think both parties were right here. I understand Barnabas wanting to encourage this young man who had, for some reason, departed and left and left the work there. But I also understand Paul, too. This was an important thing, and he didn't want a young man that was going to go with him and then them have to worry about getting him back or worry about what was going on. Which one of these people was right or wrong? Both of them were right. But they didn't let it become wrong because they dealt with it in the right way. Brethren, we need to learn how to deal with conflict. In business, they teach you how to do it. In church, we just fuss and split. Isn't that right? Amen. It's wrong. We need to learn how to handle that. You're going to have to deal with conflict, so learn how to handle that conflict in such a way as it will help you. The Lord's work was not hurt. The church was not destroyed because of this. Both Barnabas and Paul felt they were right. That's okay. They didn't try to push the other person to agree with them. Sometimes we think everybody's got to agree with us. They're not going to. Understand that. They're not going to. They're not going to agree with you on everything. That's life. That's what it's going to be. So how can we learn to deal with this? What are some things that can help us to be able to accomplish this? We need to seek for reconciliation. We need to seek to try to get the thing straightened out, put to bed, and go on. And not let this be something that continually comes up. I've seen trouble and problems in churches that have lasted for at least 30 or 40 years. Where two people are at odds with each other and they stay at odds with each other. Brethren, that's wrong. It should not be. It's against God. And if you want to go back 30 or 40 years ago, say you can go to hell for it, okay? We've got to learn this. What do we need to learn? We need to understand what love really is. Love demands that you do not sin. It demands that you do not sin. And we've got to understand that. Listen to Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 27. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We're members together. Be angry. Do not sin. It is not wrong to be angry. It is wrong to be angry and sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Straighten these things out. Don't let them linger for a long time. Because lingering with a problem sometimes causes more resentment. And people start adding to this and adding to it and adding to it. It was a small problem, but now it's a big problem. Usually because we go start telling other people our position to get people on our side. And that's wrong. We shouldn't do that. Verse 27, I think, is an important passage for us to see. Not giving place to the devil. Don't you give the devil a place to stand. Don't you give him encouragement. Don't you help him to look at other people and him to cause other people to say, well, I'm on this side. I believe this person. I believe that person. That's not it. And we need not to do that. Hatred is sin. Gossip is sin. And we need to understand that. Lynn and I were with a couple the other night, not members here, and they were talking about a certain institution. And they said, oh, this preacher told this fella that it was not a good place because they did this and this. Never been down there and talked to those people. You know what that is? That's gossip. It's hurting the Lord's work. It's hurting this institution. And it should not be. If you've got a problem with them, go talk to them. Don't tell everybody else about it. Go find out what it is. And if we don't do that, it creates more conflict. And it creates more conflict. This preacher had talked to another preacher, and this preacher had talked to several other people, and here these people were saying, there's something wrong with that place down there. There was nothing wrong with the place down there. Only because of gossip. And it's wrong to do that. And we need to make sure that that's not a part of it. And sometimes we get this superior attitude. Well, I know I'm right, so that means I'm better than you. I know I'm doing what's right. I'm smarter than you. I'm over you. Listen, forget that. You're not over anybody. You're under everybody. You're to be a servant to other people. We're studying about discipleship on Sunday morning. That's one of the things that we try to emphasize this morning, that we need to be people who we recognize that we are serving others and helping others. That's being a disciple. That's learning how to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come to do his own will, but to do his Father's will. He did not come just to watch over us and to criticize us and to say bad things about us. He came to lift us up to heaven. That's what he was trying to do. That's what he wanted to do. As believers, we must be those people that we will not allow sin to destroy us. We will not allow conflict to be a part of that. We've got to guard against that. Guard against that superior attitude. Guard against I'm always right. I've got to have my way. That doesn't need to be a part of the church. Now, we need to emphasize what the Bible teaches. We need to encourage other people to do that. And sometimes people don't want to do that. That's another thing. We're talking about things where conflict can be solved, and it can be solved in this. Abraham and Lot had some problems. Abraham was feeding his sheep on a certain place, and Lot was feeding his sheep on the same place, and they had conflict with each other. Abraham said to Lot, the older, the one that was over Lot. Now look at what he did in solving the problem here. Look at how he handled the conflict here. He said, Lot, let there be no disagreement between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. You choose which land you want. Lot chose the well-watered plains. Abraham could have said, no, that's mine. But he didn't. He took the hills. He took the mountains. You know what he said? Let there be no disagreement between us because we are brethren. In Genesis 13 in verse 8, that's what he was trying to say. We're brethren. We got to work this thing out. We got to get this thing solved. We've got to handle that. Brethren, we don't do that as well as we need to in the church. And we need to learn how to do that. So there needs to be somebody to help us to be able to do that. We're told how to deal with some of the problems there. How to deal with a personal problem. We go to those people, Matthew 18, and talk to them. We try to get this problem worked out. We try to solve this problem. And there is a solution to it. We go on and do God's will. And we don't hate. We don't hurt. We don't backbite. We don't say anything else about it. We go on and we do God's will. That's what we've got to do. If we don't do that, then we're missing what God wants us to do. What we've got to do, in Romans 12 and verse 10, it tells us to be kind one to another, to be affectionate to each other, to be those people that we show brotherly love for each other, that we're willing to give them preference. Now the idea in that is that we're willing to bend what we want sometime for them. If you have two people that are willing to give up what they want for the other person, you're going to have a unity that's there. What's the problem in marriage relationships? Well, a husband's got to have his way and a wife's got to have her way. And there's no solution to that. And they go sit down with a counselor and here they've got this problem, they've got this problem. What if they sit down and say, listen, we got to agree on this thing. We got to work it out. That's what God intended for it to be in a marriage relationship. And let me tell you something. That's what he intended for it to be in the church too. We can solve problems. We can solve conflict if we'll do that. But it takes both parties wanting to do that. And as much as it is, as we can do it, it needs to start with me first. And you too. We need to try to deal with this conflict and handle it. Secondly, love demands that we keep the right attitude. Have you ever noticed how one can feel superior to the other because they think they're really right? They think they are right and it can't be any other way. And so they're going to try to get what they want. They have this superior, I'm over you, I know better than you. And this seems to be something that it feeds people and it feeds others. And we try to be over people. We feel like we've been wronged because somebody disagrees with us. Let me tell you something. If you feel like it's wrong because people disagree with you, you better get in another world. Because they're going to do it. Either home or church or work or someplace, they're going to disagree with you. How do you deal with that? You deal with it in the right way to cause this thing to work out so that God can help everybody. And so that the church, and mainly I'm thinking about the church and that relationship. That we can say, listen, this church has worked together and we continue to work together. We will not allow conflict. We're not going to allow that at all. And we need to help people to see that. Love demands that we love each other. This is from God. Listen to Romans 5 verse 8. God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were sinners, God sent his son to die for us on the cross. That's God's love. That's the way God loves people. That's the way we got to love people. God sent his son. And he showed his love to us when we were enemies, when we were fighting against him. He showed that. You know, what would it be if you're in the middle of conflict, if you tried to show love to that other person and not hatred? It might help to solve the problem. That's what God did. Jesus Christ did not come to this world to do His own will, but to do His Father's will. And He came so that He could help us to be able to be a part of the Father. Now, listen at 1 John 4, verses 10 and 11. And we studied this just a few weeks ago. In this is love. Not that we love God. That's not the great thing. But it's that God loves us. That's the great thing. We think, oh, I love God. Well, why shouldn't we? Look what He's done. He's given us life. He's given us breath. He's given us everything that we have. He's done all those things for us. What have we given to God? Conflict, sin, unrighteousness. And look what He does. He says, I'll forgive you. I'll go on. Let's get this thing straightened out and go on. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment price, propitiation. The payment price for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We ought to love other people in the same way that God loved us. That means if we disagree with them, we still love them. Why do we have a disagreement and we think we've got to sever our ties from each other? Why is that? It's of the devil. That's exactly where it's at, because God does not want us to do that. Love sees beyond the problem. It sees beyond the difficulty that's there. How many of us can think back at a problem that we had years ago, and maybe even at churches that had problems years ago, and now nobody even remembers hardly what the problem was? Or if you do, you feel a little bit ashamed because you had a difficulty because of that. Sometimes time helps us to see how silly our little arguments are and that we don't need to be a part of that. Even in disagreement, we need to learn to love each other and keep the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. We all know this. This is love. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Remember that one. Not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. That's a good one too. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. With what's right and what's good. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. It always protects. It always protects even your enemies. That's what love does. It helps us to see that we can't be enemies with anybody. I was looking at a thing the other day, and this fellow, it was the Food Network. I don't watch that all the time. Lot. And they were talking about people. They were showing some food that these people had. And they cooked it. They didn't cook it over the fire. They put it in the fire and cooked it. And they cooked all this stuff in the fire. Then they took it out and they cleaned it all up. The meat and the bread stuff and all that. They put it in this. It looked green. And it was just, and they brought it out here in a big old platter and set it down. And what you do is you just reach over your hand and you get you some of this stuff and you start eating it. And this guy that was there was an American. He said, these people hate me. But he said, in their religion, they're taught to do good to other people. They're taught courtesy for those that are in your house. And they would give their life to protect you if someone was going to harm you. Isn't that really what Christianity is supposed to be about? But then we have our conflicts, we have our problems, we have our difficulties, and oh, I'm better than you because I'm right. Let me tell you something. We may not be as right as we think we are, and we need to be right with God first. Number three, love demands that in the midst of conflict, we seek reconciliation. We seek to be reconciled, brought back together. In Barnabas and Paul, you don't see them ever saying a bad thing about anybody. You even see Paul a little bit later saying, listen, have John Mark to come over here. He used John Mark. He could have said that John Mark is the sorriest rat. And how come we as old people can remember all the bad things that people do in the community? I remember one time saying something about a young man, and boy, he's doing good. He's looking. But you know, when he was 16, he did this. And I'm thinking, you old coot. What are you doing thinking about just the bad part? Yeah, he did it. He probably hates it. He didn't like it, but he did it. But look at his life now. Look at what he's doing now. Is your enemy still your enemy after 30 years? If it is, you're not right. You need to get that thing straightened out in your mind and with that person if possible. But it needs to go away. That shouldn't be a part of our lives. Forgiveness does not mean that we agree with people. We've got to understand that. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we've got to agree with what they said. Forgiveness means that we get it out of the way. We don't let it continue to be a problem in our life. And in our relationship, we forgive. We forgive and get that out of the way. Forgiveness means that we move beyond this problem and we go on in this thing. We straighten it out as much as possible and then we go on. Why do we have to be right? Why do we have to be people that it's got to go my way every time? Why? That ego? Or maybe it's that guy called the devil that's working within us. And that should not be. We need to try to solve these things. Whatever the disagreement is, most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, the disagreement is not that important. And suppose somebody believes different than you. Whoopee! Is it the first time that's ever happened? If it is, I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen again. I've seen people get disagreed because of ball teams, you know. I didn't say Auburn, Alabama. Georgia Tech. I've seen people get so upset they're ready to fight over a ball game. Grow up and smell the roses, people. That's not as God would have it. I like this. I like that. I want to do this. I want to do that. You don't have to agree with everybody, but you do have to forgive everybody. That's from God because of the way God forgives us. We may never agree with other people. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have conflicts. Maybe in the church what we need to do is a study about how to deal with conflict and us learn how to handle it. And us show the world if there is any place where conflict should be dealt with in the right way, it is the church. If there's any place where people need to get along, it's the church. If there's any place where people need to say, okay, let's solve this thing and go on, it's there. And it's not, I'm right and you're wrong. Both of us may be right. Or both of us may be wrong. But what we've got to do is to learn to join with each other. Understand what love is. Conflict is the opposite of love because it destroys relationships. And it destroys souls. What about a member of your family? What about a member of your family that's that black sheep, you know? They've always done things wrong, it seems. How do you deal with them? You better learn to forgive. Straighten it out as much as possible. But they're going to do it again. Always remember, look at how God treats us when we do it again. And we do it like God does it. Because we're God's people. Conflict, you're going to have it in your life. You're going to have to deal with it. Learn how to handle it. Don't let it destroy you. Don't let it destroy your soul. Too many people are losing their soul. They're giving their soul, not losing it. They're giving their soul to the devil. And that should not be. If you've got a problem with someone, get it straightened out now. Get it straightened out now. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. In fact, I remember reading in a book where it talks there that if you think that you've got a problem with somebody and you come to worship, you come to offer a gift there at the altar, go get that thing straightened out with them and then come and offer your gift. Why? Because it's going to be in your way. How can you come and with a hatred in your heart and then worship a God that says, I love you and I'll forgive you, when you won't forgive and you won't try to get relationships worked out with others? How can we do that? Today, the invitation may not just be at this service. It is here. If you want to become a Christian, we'll help you to do that. If you've got sins in your life that you want the church to pray with you for, we'll do that. But let me tell you something. It may be that you go to work, that you go home, that you go other places. Maybe you see a member of the church, and you get this thing straightened out, and then you go on. You do that. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.